Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. I'm the student minister here at Acacia Ridge, if I haven't met you before. Let's pray before we get into it. So please bow with me. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 17 as we've read it this morning. We just pray now that you open our hearts to what it says, that you can teach us from your word and that you can grow us and encourage us from your word, that we can pray persistently to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Char Sa-soon. Char Sa-soon lived in a tiny mountain village in South Korea. She always wanted to learn to drive, but didn't begin the process of trying to get a license until she was well into her 60s. Sa-soon failed the written portion of this test 949 times. Finally, on the 950th attempt, she got a passing grade and then moved on to actual practical driver's test, where she only failed four times before passing. Now, all of South Korea found out about her persistence and she became a national hero. She was even given a Kia Soul. That's the Kia Soul on screen. And she appeared in one of their Kia adverts. People say Cha Sa-soon had a persistent soul because she was solely dedicated to the task of getting her license. And she celebrated with taking a trip to South Korea's national capital, which is called Seoul. Okay, the last Seoul didn't happen. I just wanted to put it in there because I was wanting to be persistent in making puns. But the rest of the story is true, let me guarantee you. But for a moment, think about what it took for Cha Sa-soon to be so persistent. Do you possess the ability or passion to be that persistent about something? This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 17. This is the first explicit prayer that we come across when we start reading through the Psalms. And in this Psalm, we see that David is persistent in prayer. And this morning, I want you to see that it's possible for you, for me, for us to be persistent in prayer. So let's look at Psalm 17. At the beginning of the Psalm, the title it is given, as it says, A Prayer of David. Now, most of you probably know that the titles that you see in your Bibles, they've been added by publishers later. But these titles in the Psalms, most of the Psalms have titles, are actually in the original Psalm themselves. So this morning, let's look at what this persistent prayer or Psalm means in its original context on the lips of David, who wrote this prayer, and then on the lips of King Jesus, because we read in the New Testament in Luke chapter 24, it shows us that Jesus said that the Psalms are fulfilled in him, and then finally how we can join in and pray persistently because of what Jesus has done for us. That is, if your trust is in Jesus. So in Psalm 17, there are three key points where David pleads with God. The first is in verses 1 to 2, and the second in 6 to 9, and then the third in verses 13 to 14. These are then followed by David defending his heart, then an explanation of those who are troubling him, and then finally, David's hope. So needless to say, there's a lot going on in Psalm 17. But the one thing I want to show you today from Psalm 17 is that you too can be persistent in prayer. You too can show persistence like Cha Sa-soon. So let's look at King David's persistent prayer, and hopefully it will encourage you to be persistent in prayer from today onwards. So what do you first notice when Stephen just read the Bible out to us a few minutes ago? What do you notice at the start of Psalm 17? First of all, David is in relationship with the Lord. He's praying to the Lord, to the one true God. The second thing you may have noticed is that David then goes on to give a defense of his character. He's defending his heart in this prayer. Take a look at the end of verse 1 right through to the end of verse 5. It's like David saying, hey, God, I'm blameless here. You should vindicate me. You should show me to be blameless, to be right, because that's the right thing for you to do. See, David knows that ultimate vindication can only come from the Lord and nowhere else. So David was right in asking God to do that. Because let's face it, the Bible records a pretty good picture of David, right? Right? What about Bathsheba and Uriah? Okay then, well, so maybe David can't perfectly say this psalm on his own. So what's going on here then? There's three possibilities. Possibility one, if David wrote this prayer before the whole Uriah Bathsheba thing, that would mean David was a little bit naive and arrogant. But if he wrote this prayer after the event, then he's just an outright liar. And just on a side note, if you don't know the events of David and Bathsheba and Uriah, have a read of 2 Samuel 11 a little later, but we just won't go into that right now just to save time. But let's keep going. Have a look at possibility two. Is David is referring to a righteousness that has been given to him rather than from his own character? For example, in the same way we explain how our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves, but comes through Jesus dying in our place on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins and giving us his righteousness. And then the third possibility is David knows he isn't perfect and that he doesn't always act in a righteous manner. But in this situation, whatever it may be, because we're not specifically told, he is saying that he has acted with integrity and righteousness. See, the answer mightn't be entirely clear yet. And for us, to be honest, it doesn't matter all that much, because even though it's not ultimately clear why David is saying this, it becomes more clear when we look to Jesus. But for now, let's keep looking at David. Look at verse 6 with me. We see in verse 6, David prays, I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. You turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. This is very similar to how David began his prayer. And yet again, David is persisting in prayer with the Lord. David isn't giving up. He isn't just saying a quick prayer and moving on. This isn't just drive-by prayer. This is persistent prayer. He is pleading with the Lord. He's being persistent with the Lord in this prayer. Have a look at verse 7 with me. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Who else do you know from the Old Testament has seen wonders and God's great unfailing love, and who has been saved by his right hand? Let me read a small section to you from the Old Testament and see if you can remember where it's from. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to be your holy dwelling. It's from Exodus. Moses wrote that. And this is a part of God's people's victory song when they were saved from the Egyptians. So this song would have been passed down through the generations. So God's people remembered God's faithfulness to them. And obviously David knows this song. And what I think David is alluding to is that he's saying, do for me what you did for the people in the Exodus. It's like David saying, Lord, I know you've done this before, so I know you're capable of such things. Have a look at verse 8. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. David is asking God to keep him as the king of God's people and to protect him as an eagle protects its chicks under its wings, to keep him close and protect him. The apple of your eye is someone that you're very fond of for whatever reason. And because David holds a special position as the king of God's people, it is fair to say that David is the apple of God's eye. So David is encouraging God to do what anyone would do with the apple of their eye. He's asking God to protect him at all costs. Then take a look at verses 9 through to 12. See, obviously David is seeking vindication from an enemy that's an imminent threat. So it becomes obvious why David is persistent in this prayer. David knows he's faced with this sort of situation. Then he knows and he needs to ask for the Lord's help rather than rely on his own strength to avoid what's coming to him. David needs the help of the Lord to vindicate him. Then in the final part of the psalm, we see David again persistent in petitioning the Lord, followed by him trusting that he will be ultimately vindicated. Have a look at verse 13. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down with your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it. And may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Verses 13 and 14 here again show David petitioning the Lord, pleading with the Lord for vindication. David is persisting. He isn't letting this go. In this psalm, David is again and again persisting in prayer. Then in this final section, he contrasts himself with those whose reward is in this life. He compares those who don't have a relationship with the Lord and compares them to David, who does. David is persisting in prayer because he's persistent in putting his faith in the Lord who will deliver him. In verse 15, David illustrates that he knows because of his relationship with the Lord, he will be ultimately vindicated. He will be justified. He will be shown to be on the right side. See, this is a massive contrast to those who are the wicked in the psalm. David mentions in his ultimate vindication, he will see God face to face. See, this is a tremendous privilege. And we know from reading the Old Testament that it's a privilege that isn't bestowed on everyone who follows the Lord. Then finally, David takes satisfaction in seeing the Lord. David knows despite the unfolding situation, whatever it is, he will ultimately find satisfaction in being in relationship with the Lord. And that is where his hope lies. That is where his refuge is. So there's David, persistent in prayer to the Lord. Not perfect, as we know, but his hope is in the Lord to bring about ultimate vindication to him. And we see David trust ultimately in that for his satisfaction and his refuge. So we've seen the psalm as a prayer of David. How then does Jesus ultimately pray and fulfill this psalm? What would this look like as a prayer of Jesus? Have a look again at verses 1 to 5. Look quickly at it again for yourselves. What do you think? This is all true of Jesus, isn't it? For David, we have to look at explanations to why he could be saying certain things in this prayer. Where with Jesus, we can just read through the psalm and say, Jesus ultimately fulfills this. Jesus planned no evil. Jesus' mouth has not transgressed. Jesus kept himself from the ways of the violent. Jesus did the will of the Father. Jesus didn't stumble in living for the Lord. And then verses 6 to 9, have a look again. Jesus prayed to God the Father many times as we read in the New Testament. Jesus took refuge in the Lord God. King Jesus is the apple of the Lord's eye. Jesus had the wicked pursue him to destroy him, and his enemies eventually surrounded him and attempted to destroy him. And I say attempted because we know what happened on Easter Sunday. And Jesus is the ultimate place of refuge because he saves his people. And then verses 10 to 12, Jesus had and has arrogant people speak against him and people who close their heart to him. Jesus had people track him down, surrounded him, and they wanted to destroy him like a lion devours its prey. Remember the Pharisees, the priests, the Roman guards? Then what about verses 13 and 14? Jesus is the Lord who rescues. He rescues those from the wicked and from their own wicked selves. By his hand, he saves his people. He gives people an eternal place to seek refuge. And on the same note, we know that when Jesus returns, he will return in judgment over those who don't take refuge in him. He will come as the judge over those whose reward is in this life, not the next. Also, Jesus is the model for persistent prayer. You remember those 40 days in the wilderness? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus was persistent in the way that he prayed, even more so than David. And finally, in verse 15, Jesus' vindication was in his resurrection. When he arose, he was vindicated. So as we look at Psalm 17, we can see that only one man can ultimately pray this psalm, to pray this prayer. And obviously that is Jesus, King Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the only one man who can ultimately pray this, how can we pray this psalm? And how can we pray like this psalm and being persistent in prayer? I want to ask you, what if God put the statistics of your prayer life right up on screen right now? What would it look like? Are you persistent in prayer? And if not, what stops you from praying? Is it because you feel as though you're too much of a sinner for God to answer your prayers? See, isn't it funny when we sin, we don't immediately confess our sin to God? We trust him to forgive our sin. But when we sin, we run for the one who's the only one who can forgive it. It seems like we quickly forget that he's the only one capable of forgiving that sin, that he wants us to pray to him. So let me encourage you to not avoid God because of your sin, but let me encourage you to be persistent. Turn to God when you do sin and persistently seek forgiveness and ask him to continue working in you to turn from your sin. So for us, we don't have to justify our heart in the way that David did, because Jesus has already done that for us when he died on the cross. Jesus gives us the right heart to pray if our trust is in him for the forgiveness of sins. And that is how we can pray this psalm and others. If we aren't persistent in prayer, maybe we're saying that God isn't really big enough for my problems. Or we are more capable even than God, to sort out our own needs, our own desires. Now I know, or at least hope, that if you're a believer here today, you would not stand up here and say that God can't do that. Because we are a people who know a God who is bigger than any situation that we face. And we know that God will answer. But maybe we're afraid of that answer. Maybe that is why we aren't persistent in prayer. But let me encourage you, as the Bible does, be persistent in prayer. Bring your needs and desires before God in a similar way that David did. Though he was sinful, we know how sinful he was, and he still brought his needs and his desires before God. So for you today, If your trust is in the risen Lord Jesus, let me encourage you that you can join with David and ultimately Jesus in praying and singing the psalm. Early Christian writers, Augustine or Augustine, depending wherever you're from, helpfully illustrated that we are to think of Jesus as the choir leader in leading his people in singing the Psalms. But it's more important to remember that the Psalms are Jesus' prayers before they become ours. And we should read the Psalms in this way so we don't miss Jesus in all of this. Otherwise, we will forget the reason we're able to pray the Psalms in the first place. Also, we're to think when we pray through the Psalms that we are not praying as individuals here in 2016, but rather we are praying the Psalms corporately. We're praying the Psalms together so that we are to pray the Psalms thinking of ourselves as the body of Christ, thinking of ourselves as a part of the body of Christ, as people of the ultimate King, King Jesus. We pray these Psalms together with believers across the world and across time as one body to which Christ is the head. But if you aren't a follower of Jesus, maybe today is the day you join in with God's people across time, across geography, and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and join in with God's people in being persistent in prayer. So let's be persistent in prayer like King David, and more importantly, let's be persistent in prayer like King Jesus. This psalm is a model for us to pray through and to pray like as we seek to be persistent in prayer. So like Cha Sa-soon was persistent in attempting to get her driver's license, let's show even greater persistence in prayer because we know the great God we are praying to. And let Jesus motivate us in persistent prayer because our hope is eternal because of what he has done for us.